attention.
They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it?
Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs, yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
We may not like Mondays, but we already got half of the day conquered. 2 o'clock hour is here. Monday is where it all begins, okay? You want to be fruitful. You want to be productive. Want to show a profit at week's end, you got to get the most out of Monday. And that's what it's all about. A Mokama Beer Company Monday as we welcome you into XL Primetime. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you can, the next couple of hours is required. We will definitely take it. That's for sure. Plenty to get into from the weekend. Jaguar talk as we start steaming towards that rookie mini camp and Jarvis Landry at 31 years of age being part of it. And then some college football talk with the transfer portal being closed. But what a weekend, man. I normally reserve the for Thursday, but I'm coming out of Cinco de Mayo, a party yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people had a good time. Hey, wake up, man. Siesta time is over if you were partying yesterday for Cinco de Mayo. I actually have Cinco Seis as two days that I celebrate, consecutive days.
You know, like south of the border, they don't even celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Did you know that?
Well, they celebrate other things, but, you know, they're kind of like us. They celebrate all the time, too.
Like, it's become our holiday.
Oh, it's America's
in America
holiday.
Because
there's
they,
no question about it.
You know, it's about them pushing back the French in 1870-something, I think it was. Yeah. But they don't even celebrate it.
St. Paddy's Day and Cinco de Mayo. Mm. We do it better than Ireland. We do it better than Mexico, okay? It's the same thing. But what I was going to say is Cinco Seis, I celebrate both of them because Cinco de Mayo – definitely worth celebrating, especially with my Mexican heritage. And then Seis is TLD and I's wedding anniversary.
No.
How about a round of applause?
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah.
That beautiful woman.
How many
said
years,
yes
bro?
To Joe C. 29.
Wow. That's awesome.
Okay. So love you. Happy anniversary as we get it going. But Cinco Seis is always, you know, good for me. Fifth and sixth, that's for sure.
29.
Are we done with like the uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis? Are we done now? Like tomorrow, you're not going to say
Siete?
Siete.
We may try and keep it
and
going.
And then Ocho. Then you're not going to. Yeah. All right.
We had a Trace de Mayo party on Friday, and then you went into the weekend, and I'm sure people were definitely celebrating yesterday. I know I was. That's for sure. A good weekend, though. You told us something that absolutely shocked us as we began the show.
Yeah, I was bothered by it. I was disgusted by it, to be quite honest with you. About 2 o'clock, I'm at the cigar lounge with a bunch of men smoking cigars, you know, enjoying ourselves. There's nothing on TV, and I turn to the right of me, and I look up there, and I see championship pillow fighting. And I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody was punking me when I saw it on the TV screen. But I saw it was grown men in the ring with pillows hitting each other. And it was sponsored. It was sponsored. Mm-hmm. It's sponsors on their shirts, in the ring. And I said, who the hell? First of all, why is it on ESPN? Why is championship pillow fighting on ESPN?
How many times did I ask you, was it men?
You asked me about 10 times if it was men. I said, yes, it's grown men in their pillow fight.
Are you ready for this?
And it bothered me.
It's the world's first professional pillow fighting league. Imagine that. The world's first.
Really?
Okay?
Not surprised.
Exactly. Look, I've told you before, a good happy hour game, a good drink it game, you got a chug or whatever, is tag. And tag has been picked up by ESPN, and I'm sure other cable outlets or streaming outlets, where you've got this course, and you guys got one guy that's got to try and beat the other guy, and if you tag him, then you know he's out, and you keep moving on. That's at least.
But that takes a little agility.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. They have these little bars and stuff,
yeah,
and they have to
it's
jump
awesome
around. And stuff. That takes agility and athleticism.
It's
these hey,
wait
guys,
a second. It's not awesome, okay?
It's not awesome.
It's not awesome. Stop right there.
You take the red or the green or you take the blue or the white, whatever jersey they're wearing, and whoever, you just keep track. Dollar bets. And then you got to chug after a certain time.
Is the pumpkin seat spitting contest awesome too?
If it pops up on television during
what about cornhole?
Yeah,
that tournament
sure,
is the cornhole tournament. Is that awesome too?
Yeah, listen, as long as you can lay down a wager, that's really all.
I thought cornhole was bad. Yeah. The professional cornhole league.
I love cornhole.
Which I love it too. Like when you're at like a 4th of July party, you're just screwing around. It's fun, sure. But a professional league?
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
stop it.
My my Dodgers brother, Alan Verlander, with Airstream, he brought in one of the cornhole championships to Duval. They'll heads on beds, man. They will come in and compete. Listen, they lay it down. Yeah. It's serious. Listen,
those guys that were pillow fighting, and they first of all, they should have been checked. They got to have low T. They've got to have low T. It has to, because, bro, I'm telling you, they have to be low T.
Do you suffer from low testosterone?
I guarantee there'll be somebody on the text line texting and saying, bro, those guys get after it, man.
Man, the whole time I'm looking at it, I'm saying to myself, that's somebody child in there. That's somebody child. Some grown man, some veteran or something, son is in there pillow fighting.
Whose dad has to look at him on TV
going,
him
on TV.
What did we do, man?
Exactly. What did I go wrong?
All right, I'm looking, and their events calendar kind of jammed right now, okay? And they've got plenty of events coming up. And like we said, it is the first. But if you watched it, if you took it in, if you really, like, sometimes you could watch a sport, you go out, you buy a glove. You buy a baseball. If you went out and bought a pillow after watching this, let us know. You can hit the text line 641-1010 with the Professional Pillow Fighting League. And you can, of course, go to YouTube. Search 1010XL on YouTube. You will find the MyBookie Digital Studio, and you can jump in there. Now, most of the time, we're going to lead off talking about what happened over the weekend with all the other sports besides pillow fighting. Let me tell you something. The way the Kentucky Derby finished and the NASCAR race, both with basically photo finishes, and my man, Mystic Dan. Now, listen, this was a thoroughbred that we talked about right there at the end of our show.
Forever Young, right?
And Mystic Dan was one that I peppered Captain Ron and Burchfield and all them with all of my choices. And Mystic Dan came in, I think it was either 18-1, 17-1.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good choice. And so I have to say that I cashed a ticket. Now, I gave away a lot of others on that 17-7-2 trifecta that I put in there. But so Mystic Dan,
I thought you were talking Forever Young that you were yelling about, too. Yeah. You were yelling about Forever Young,
I was yelling about Forever Young, yeah. That's for sure.
So one of your trifectas hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Nice.
But believe me, it was a great race right down to the wire, and it didn't have that bad weather that everyone was necessarily forecasting in the beginning. But that was Saturday afternoon, and then, of course, racing yesterday, golf yesterday. We can get into all that. But you come here for football. We know that as well as you do. You're like, come on, let's talk some balls. Let's talk some Jaguars. The receiving core that Trevor has this year, and we'll look at the depth chart. You can look at it any way you want. You can look at your starting two, your starting three. You can look at the entire room. But the way we set it up on X today is it the best – receiving room that Trevor Lawrence has had since he got here. Now, we have to include when he was drafted number one overall. That does count. 2021, we will go through it. 2022, we all know, just to give you a kind of a little bit of a primer on what we're doing here, in 2022, there were three guys that went over 70 catches. That's a pretty dang productive room. That's Zay Jones, Chris Kirk, and Evan Ingram was able to get to 70 catches at the end. And they made their run, made it to the postseason. Then this last year, you add Calvin Ridley to the equation, and it looks like even a better room. Well, now you've said goodbye to Calvin, said goodbye to Zay. One's already a Titan, another soon may be a Titan. And now you add Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis, along with Devin Duvernay. You can throw him into the conversation because Jamal Agnew was kind of that extra guy the last couple of seasons. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, it has the potential, absolutely. If you look at the Jaguars, what they're trying to do, they try to build on speed. More than likely, it looks like a 4x100 relay with the guys. You got Gabe Davis, who's fast. Mm-hmm. You got your Brian Thomas, who's fast. And you want to throw in Evan Ingram in there as well. Right now, it seems like the Jaguars in their receiving core, they're building up for speed. Because, I mean, the guys that – Zay Jones, he wasn't a speed guy. He was a body guy. He was a big guy. He can go get it if he had to. But I think these guys right here, these are like got lightning in the bottle with Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis. And it has the potential to be now, will it all coordinate on the field? That's the question. Will it all coordinate on the field? And if I'm sure Trevor is doing anything right now, he's probably sat down with these guys and they're probably working like he did last year, you know, get the guys together, run some routes so they can have a nice little rhythm when they get in the camp.
Yeah, the 2022 group was really good.
It was good.
I don't think we can forget that. That was Marvin Jones had a nice season, too.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely should include him in this conversation.
Not only that, I mean, Jamal Agnew had some big catches that season as well. And let's not forget Dan Arnold. How could you ever forget Dan Arnold?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, I went from the reason why I got into the assistant coach of the year nominee is because I was trying to make people – forget that I said the house that Arnold built. That's what I was working on there for a while because he came in and was supposed to do
that. That was a really good group. I made a joke with it, but that was a really good group in 2022. And I think this group now, potentially, could it be? Sure. But, I mean, they have to go a long way to have a better production, in that 2022 group, which also fared really well in the postseason, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, we talk about Trevor and the way he played in the postseason and you know, the comeback against the Chargers, and he played well against the Chiefs, really, too. Those receivers also played lights out.
Yeah.
Except for Agnew.
Yeah.
The fumble.
Well, yeah, the fumble.
And Christian with the drop.
Yeah. It's the one that'll kill you. There's actually.
Oh, that was in the regular season.
Yeah,
that was the regular season. But still, big plays like we're talking about, either coughing up the ball or not hauling it in. And there have been so many few seasons where you could count on this receiving core just constantly getting the job done. And that's why I'm just at least throwing out there the idea that a Gabe Davis, who's a reliable guy, a yak guy, a big yards per catch guy, and if you start adding the idea of what Brian Thomas brings to the table, it should get you pretty dang fired up. And I do think that's maybe what people are thinking about and focusing in on. So I'm just looking at some of these numbers, and honestly, there have been so few big hits in the receiving game. Jimmy Smith dwarfs everybody else that's ever put on a Jaguar uniform when it comes to total yards, what he was able to do. We're talking over 12,000 yards receiving. The next guy is Keenan, which was his counterpart, his brother in arms. It was thunder and lightning. But still, Keenan, while he was here, he had great years and then ended up totaling about 6,400 yards receiving compared to over 12,200 yards for Jimmy. Then you start whittling down. Next best guy when it comes to the Jags, Mercedes. Mercedes Lewis is the next best cat. And then you start looking at the next guy. It's not another wide receiver. It's Maurice Jones-Drew.
Wow.
And then you finally get to the third wide receiver as far as the Jags annals are concerned, the history books of receiving. A-Rob's the next guy, and he didn't touch 3,000 yards. I got some numbers, some saucies that I'll probably present to you.
Well, I think there are also numbers we can't avoid as well. Yeah. Like Trevor, 2022 to 2023, he had less passing yards. His completion percentage was down. His touchdowns were down. His interceptions were up.
Yeah.
And his sacks were up.
Yeah.
So it's a, again, we say this all the time, it's a three-prong attack when you're throwing the ball. You got to protect. You got to get open and get separation, and you got to throw it accurately.
Yeah.
And that's why there was no growth from 2022 to 2023. They struggled in all three of those areas at various points and sometimes at the same time during the season.
Okay, so let me ask you then, and we can all jump in on this. You guys can hit the text line 641-1010. Put them in order. Okay, put them in order. What was the most what was the thing that happened more often and led to the biggest problem? Was it line protection? Was it not getting open? Because you can use not getting open, not getting any separation, not running the right routes with Calvin, which was at least the book on him a couple times, or Trevor not being accurate or making quick enough decisions. What order are you going to put them in? Line protection,
that's gotta be
I
one.
Think I'm it's putting it number one.
Absolutely got to be one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't protect, your quarterback doesn't have a chance. You got to give him adequate protection, especially in this league. All right? And then I would go –
quarterback two.
Quarterback
three. Yeah.
Quarterback two. Yeah. Then the quarterback has got to be accurate.
And the quarterback's close to the line because there are some quarterbacks in the league that the line isn't elite and has problems in protection, and the quarterback bails them out
with
solid play. So I would say the quarterback's very close to one, but I would still put line at one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably – and I don't know whether I'd put Trevor, the receivers, two or three. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like the line really made things tough for Trevor. I really do.
Well, six of the first 12 teams that picked in the NFL draft this last week would disagree with you.
So. Yeah. Well, they
– Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and they're all trying to fix the same problem, which is get a dynamic guy under center. I'm having a conversation. I went to Rebound Rehab this morning trying to get my my wheel fixed again, and it's getting there, that's for sure. But I'm talking with my guys, Michael and Bailey, and we're saying, you know, would you have ever believed that Michael Penix would have gone eighth overall? And it's not even like they had this gaping hole. They had signed Kirk Cousins. They had guaranteed him a bunch of money. Yet, they were willing to reach for a guy that they think represents the future at the most important position. Then throw in a Bo Nix. Throw in a J.J. McCarthy. Guys, I don't think too many people at the end of the season. Let's not even – like, the Michigan Wolverines were the national champions at the end of the season. Did anyone think J.J. McCarthy was going to go that high in the draft at that time? Do you think?
I mean, I was saying he's going to go top 15. I didn't think he'd go where he went.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anyone
I might
did.
Say top half of the first round.
Yeah, I was thinking about the middle 18, 20-ish. Someone will get him somewhere in there. I did not see it, but he became the go-to. I mean, he became the darling. He became the at the combine. Everybody.
Plus, he also – his. I mean, I keep saying this. His last three games, four games really, throw Iowa in there. Ohio State, Iowa, and the two playoff games, he played at a high level. He's the reason they won those games.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who, you know, those are the elite games. Those are the important games. How do you perform? Like, your tape is your resume, which we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. How do you perform in those critical resume games? And he hit the ball out of the park, especially against Alabama.
And here's the thing. I poke fun at Bo Nix. But if you put the numbers up, the numbers parallel with J.J. McCarthy, it's not even close.
Duck Bo was really, really good.
The touchdowns, the completion rate, all that kind of stuff. But he was in a system at Michigan where he didn't really have to rely on the quarterback that much. But down the stretch during the big games, he was butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. He was. All right, so you guys dig in. RJ, let's get the X-Poll out there because, again, this is receiving core that Trevor has to work with. Is it the best that he's had to this point? Throw it out there.
Absolutely. Our poll question, XL Primetime X poll question today, brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Toyota and Beaver Chevrolet. Is this the best wide receiver room Trevor Lawrence has had since he's been a Jacksonville Jaguar? Search on X at 1010XL and you can vote right there.
Yeah, simple. Yes or no. Okay, that's what we want more than anything else. So definitely jump in on it. And by the way, there was a roast last night and they got in on Tom Brady. They got in. Here's just a little sample, and we'll get into this because, sir, so I got to ask you, there got to be teammates that like you.
I got a few.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I got the premium number one person.
Okay, all right. But this was – just listen to some of this, and we'll play a few of these because I would think Tom Brady, even though he just got roasted, it's true when you say the name, but I bet he had a blast last night.
Tom became a Patriot, moved up to New England. And on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office and said, "I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage?" I love Robert Kraft. Okay. He's having fun. Look at him.
He checked him on that one. Couldn't go down the massage road. All right, so who would you
roast? That was gold, huh?
Yeah,
who would I roast? A couple of teammates. Let me see. Teammates-wise, it would be Andre. Rising would have to get roasted,
yeah.
Right? K-Hard, because he thinks he's better than me for some reason. I don't know why. But the premium roast, I mean, it would be totally respectful. But TC, of course. Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, roasted
the
TC.
Stories, all the stories we have as players on TC.
Oh,
it would be classic.
You'd have a field day. All right, you guys can offer up who you'd like to roast, be it a Jag, a Gator, a Noel, a Kane, whatever. You can hit the text line 641-1010, but we'll play a few more from the roast last night. And I don't know whether we'll ever get a Jaguar to grow up to that level of fame that you can pull off a roast like that, but that was some kind of good last night. With the celebrity that they had in the room. We'll keep it going. It's XL Primetime and Mocama Beer Company Monday. Every day they serve coffee in the tap room Monday through Sunday, and then Tuesday through Sunday you can enjoy the delicious craft. So make sure you sample it. Mocama.com, you'll see that great lineup, all their creations. We're talking the IPAs, the Pilsners, lagers, fruited, sours, you name it. They got it. Mocama right there on South 8th in downtown Fernandina and in Wildlight. Both of them up there. The Mocama Beer Company.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's Mocama Monday on XL Primetime. Head to the tap room in Fernandina Beach every day that ends with Y and enjoy some Mocama.
Well, I don't want to get the NFL too upset. I'm trying to buy a piece of the Raiders. I'm tired of owning just the Colts and the Bills.
That's a good line. That's a good line. Tom Terrific roasted on Netflix last night. I wonder if it'll be a cottage industry in the sports world starting to roast more. The roasts were on Comedy Central for a long time. They were just absolutely hilarious. But owning the Colts and the Bills, he ain't wrong. That was Tom Brady last night. Now trying to buy a piece of the Raiders. The idea, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, if you're anyone in Duval and you had a chance to roast Tom Coughlin, what kind of stories would Leon and the boys be able to come up with? You probably could get him laughing, man. Guff hawing, red-faced, all sorts of he doesn't want to reveal how tough he was back then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, when we had the reunion, the alumni reunion, when all the guys came back with everything, and I walked through the door of the center. I can't say anything. When I walked through the door, First person I saw was TC, and I went up to him, and I was like, you know, right now he looks a little grandpa-y, which means he's lovable.
Yeah.
He's a lovable guy now. And I was like, where is this coming from? But I went up to him and said, hey, TC, look, you think I can rescind those fines? You give me I had to get him laughing. He was laughing. But some of the fines that were given to me in 96 were just ridiculous. I did them on purpose. Couldn't take a knee. Couldn't do this, do that, whatever. I said, what is going on around here?
Yeah. But and he didn't hesitate.
Oh, he didn't hesitate to fine you on everything. He had a little notebook. Y'all saw him out there when y'all was all cuddled in the media. I was like, cuddled in the
we
one
had to
little
stay
circle.
In one painted square.
The best part was when he tried to like, out of it. In the like real, real, real early days, first couple years, first year even. He tried to say no hats.
Oh yeah, he didn't want you to wear hats.
No,
and he didn't
not
want
happening.
You kneeling.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. No hats. Your socks had to be pulled up. Sit up straight in the meetings. Couldn't chew gum. Yeah. All
no,
that
I
kind
mean
of
hats
stuff.
Like when we were out in the sun.
Oh, the media, y'all couldn't wear hats. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that didn't happen.
No, you had hair back then, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I had hair, but I was thinning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and by the way,
trying to hold on.
You could maybe sue TC for losing that last little bit of hair that you had.
Exactly. That was
blame it on him.
Yeah, man.
By the way, off the text line, Design My Lifetime Enclosures with the Cinco de Mayo weekend. He texts in, the cat says, I live on the Texas-Mexico border, and Day of the Dead celebrated more than Cinco de Mayo by the Mexican population here. I don't doubt it, bro. I do not doubt it at all. And salute to you if you're living down there. That's for sure. Doing good work, I'm hoping. All right. Let's get back to the wide receiver conversation. And you guys definitely offer up what you're thinking. 6'4", 1, 10, 10. Is this the best receiving core that Trevor Lawrence has had? By the numbers, is it deeper? You might say so. But let's just add up a couple of quick things here. When you had Calvin Ridley added to Zay Jones and Chris Kirk and Evan Ingram last year, you had a battery of three wide receivers, a tight end, all very capable, doing a lot of good things for them and really kind of paced them when everybody was healthy to where they were in the winner's circle running that five-game win streak together. Before that, we mentioned the years before. Don't forget about what Marvin Jones was able to do. He was kind of the, quote, security blanket that Trevor had when he needed to get that first down going back to the 22 season. And you got to kind of figure out who the pieces and parts are this year.
Yeah, I mean, we can speculate all we want to. On paper, it looks real good. But that 22 team, down the stretch, they knew there was big plays made by that receiving core all through that 22 season. I think that 22 season, those wide receivers were legit at the crucial times that they were needed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, last year, you know, we had some early success with the wide receivers, and they floundered down. Floundered down the stretch. But this team, right now, paper looks like it's built for speed. You're going to have a lot of speed guys on there, but it's yet to be seen. But that 2022 team, that wide receiver core. Just think about all the big plays against the Cowboys, against the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
All those big catches, big first downs, all that kind of stuff, big conversions. I mean, it'll be tough to beat that one. And that 22 team was pretty special.
Marvin Jones, just in the couple of years he was here, over 1,300 yards, 11-plus yards per catch, was able to haul it in, 119 grabs. And those are the types of guys that you need and you can call him a glue guy. You can come up with a different phrase if you want, but it's those guys that you expect when you need it most to come up with the big catch. And he was a move the chains guy. He really was. But you start going down, honestly, and this is – all of Duval, you guys can chime in, just how long it's been since you've had an elite receiving core. And I guess I would say the gap in time, because I'm going to include that 22 group as a pretty elite core collectively with what they were able to do. But you start, I mentioned earlier, the total receiving yards, you do not get to your third wide receiver until you go past a running back and a tight end among the top five in Jaguars receiving history. A-Rob is in that fifth spot. Then Allen Hurns is in that sixth spot. Allen Hurns was an undrafted cane that came in here and still was able to jump up there and finish among the top six in receiving yards with nearly 2,700 in a Jaguars uniform. Kyle Brady, 2,500 yards. How about a round of applause for our man Freddie T? Freddie T is eight in the total yardage receiving category. But guess what else he is? College graduate. I love that, man. Freddie T went back, made a promise, kept a promise to his family that he was going to be able to get his degree. And so many moons later, he was back and he was on the stage over the weekend.
Okay, that's pretty special. Yeah. Now, did he actually went to Gainesville to take the class?
Yeah, he walked.
Don't say did he go to classes or was it online?
I don't know.
Don't matter.
Well, I don't know, but he walked, which can be a lot more to say for some universities in this country where no one's walking. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But I would just say that, you know, some of these you have to be in class present, and you may be able to take a bulk of it online.
Well,
but I'm not sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear because I went back to Miami to get my degree because in order to coach and recruit, you had to have your degree.
Right.
So it was easy for me at FIU. I went back, whatever, and I could definitely tell that the age gapness between me going in there and them being in there. That's the story I told you about Frank Gore cheating on my paper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in the class. Yeah, that was it. That was
it. And how old were you then? 30?
Let me see. I started coaching at FIU 2004. So I was like 35, 36.
Mm-hmm. So 36-year-old serves with 18-year-old kids.
Exactly that part. Yeah.
I love it.
Half of them didn't know who I was. That's a shame, man. You had a legend in your house. Didn't even know.
Hall of Famer in the house.
Exactly.
Oh, it's beautiful. So Freddie is among the top 10 in receiving yards in Jacksonville Jaguar history, which is over 2,300. Then Cecil Shorts. Then Reggie Williams. They make up the top 10. It's nuts. Let's make this the 10-10 take because I've got to see more out of this football team, especially out of that wide receiver room this season.
Now, Josie's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
I know Jaguar fans out there are clamoring for a superstar that's going to stay in the teal and black and just really just ride out a great career, like a Freddie T, like a Mercedes. We can go back and think of MJD. Let's just hope that a Brian Thomas stepping onto this wide receiver stage can be that cat. Just think about this, Brian. All you got to do is get around 1,000 yards each of your first 3 years. I know that's not that's a big ask, but when you think about it, it's only about 60 yards per game. That's it. And you will catapult yourself into the top five in receiving yards in Jacksonville Jaguar history. So, Brian Thomas Jr., your first assignment is to come into Duval and start hauling in Trevor Lawrence passes and start moving your name up in the record books. All you can do is do it in three seasons' time, and you will become a legend. That is the 10-10 take. We need a guy like that. Christian Kirk's moving up. We've seen his numbers, obviously, the first couple of years show out to where he was definitely a good signing. Had he not got hurt last year, who knows exactly where he'd be, but he's still less than 2,000 yards.
I don't know about the three straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Listen, I'm dreaming right now.
I'd take him getting to a second contract. That'd be nice because then at that point, then he's at least done something that's worthy of a second contract.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you get three straight 1,000-yard seasons out of him, I mean, that's – you've hit on that draft.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help blueprint him because, this – we mentioned in the draft how few receivers in the first round, drafted in the first round, get that second contract. And what was it, 27%, Maddie?
27%.
Yeah, 27%. That's just barely over one out of four get to a second contract.
Listen, I want them to live up to the legacy. LSU wide receivers, as of late, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, are elite number ones. That's what I'm expecting out of him. Yeah. He's got to be an elite number one. Hey, listen.
You're expecting Chase or Jefferson out of him?
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, right. And look, bro, he has to average less than 60 yards a game. Get 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
No, it isn't.
I do not think that's too much to ask. All right, listen, RJ has done the numbers, okay? And this is what we're looking at. All right, so we asked the question, is this the best wide receiver room that Trevor Lawrence will have had in his time being a Jacksonville Jaguar? And you can't help but go back and think, and we already have mentioned a handful of these guys, but it's just not where you would expect a team as a total to be when it comes to some of the, you know, like, mm-hmm. like you look back, you're like, wait a minute, where's the 1,500-yard receiver? Where's the Jamar Chase and the Justin Jefferson and the guys that you're talking about? All right, so 2021, mm-hmm. Jags receiving room, all right? This is the total in the receiving room, 361 grabs, 3,674 yards. 10 yards per reception was the average. And RJ says, I hope I got my math right. I'm trusting you, bro. I'm trusting you. 10 yards per catch, only 12 touchdowns out of the receiving room in 2021, 178 first downs. This is the combination of Marvin Jones Jr., Viska Chenault. Anybody remember him? Mm. Viska. Laquan Treadwell. Wow. Anybody? Dan Arnold. As we said, the house that Arnold built. And that was the total with 312 targets, 197 receptions, 2,200 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Mm. Okay, you start thinking about that, man. That is just awful. All right, 2022, real quick. 2022, Jags receiving yards, 394 grabs, 4,148 receiving yards, 10.5 yards per reception. At least it had a little bit of an uptick. But the biggest difference is it went from 12 touchdowns to 25 touchdowns. Mm. Went from 178 first downs to 208 first downs. So, look, I will take that. The combination of Kirk, Jones, and Ingram, 433 targets, 285 grabs, 3,226 yards, and 20 touchdowns.
All right, so
give me that.
I'm going to give you a saucy nug right now. Okay?
All right, here's a saucy coming
so
up.
You were saying all I want is three straight 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, what did you say? It's only 60 yards a game, right?
Yeah, that's what you said. 58 and some change,
all right,
if you can believe it.
There were 28 receivers had 1,000 yards last year in the NFL. 27 mm-hmm. were wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
One was a tight end, George Kittle. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go on the assumption that everybody's running three wide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 96 receivers, starting receivers, all right?
Well,
that means
yeah, they get enough plays.
You're
so
ruining my saucy
you.
Nug right now. Yeah. So that's 96 receivers, okay? If 27 of them had 1,000 yards, that's 28% of those receivers that had 1,000-yard seasons. In other words, dead on accurate with the 27% that get to the second contract.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a saucy.
So
saucy nugs.
So you can talk about your three straight 1,000. It's not that difficult. Hey, it listen. Clearly is difficult if 28% of the receivers in the league can do it.
I'm Duval dreaming. I'm wishing.
I hope it happens too. All I'm telling you is if I'm out there and I'm a fan, I'm driving around thinking, yeah, BT is going to do X, Y, and Z, just see it first.
So
see it first. Verify,
oh, yeah,
then
right.
believe.
Yeah, I do want a verification. I do want that. All right, so here's 2023 real quick. All right, so receiving total, 412 grabs this past year, 4,377 yards, which was at least just a little bit more than they had the year before, 10.6 yards per reception, 22 touchdowns, which was 3 less than the year before, 199 first downs, a little bit less than the year before. And then you had the Ridley, Kirk, Ingram, Jones combination, 428 targets, 3,087 yards, 281 receptions, and 17 touchdowns. So 2022, right now, bearing out all things considered, 10.5 yards per catch, 25 touchdowns. Yeah. They've got a chance. They've got a chance. Let's come back and talk about whether or not we think they can beat that number this year, okay?
I think we just tamped down on Leon's hope of he wants Chase or Jefferson. The look on his face is kind of like I might have been wrong.
No, I'm still a believer. You're a dream killer.
Yeah. Don't dream kill. Don't dream kill
I'm
right
just
now.
Giving
it's
you man. Facts, man.
I appreciate
numbers.
It. I appreciate facts.
Numbers.
I absolutely appreciate facts.
I love the man. See, Leon's got that strobe light working. He's got a little Barry White playing.
There you
and
go.
He's just dreaming and having himself
yeah,
a good
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
All right, let us know. Can they do it? 641-1010. You can go to X and you can search at 1010XL. Throw a vote. Yay or nay. Is this the best receiving room that Trevor Lawrence has had as a Jaguar. It is a Mocama Beer Company Monday, Tuesday through Sunday. That great craft is delicious, and it doesn't really matter what your palate for beer says. Pilsner, lager, IPAs, sours, fruited, whatever it might be. Check out Mocama.com and see all their selections.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. It's Mocama Monday on XL Primetime. Head to the Tap Room at Fernandina Beach every day that ends with Y and enjoy some Mocama.
But you won't be forgotten. You'll always be remembered as Eli Manning's
Well, Will Ferrell got in. There was plenty of star power and celebrity around it. I don't think there are too many celebrity slash sports figures that you could pull this off that has the side game or side visibility that Tom Brady has. Welcome back. Getting close to the 3 o'clock hour, talking about the roast last night. If you watched it, let us know. 641-1010. Good, bad. If you want to see more of them, let us know. We were talking about if you could roast TC, what would Jaguar fan do to have fun with Tom Coughlin back in the day? Because he was a tyrant, a headmaster, all the different ways that we would describe him, but he got the results. Kind of like Tommy. Tommy was, I'm sure, an irritant to some, maniacal to others, but he had game. That's why they call him the GOAT, that's for sure. All right, Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ Saunders kicking it. And we are looking back and just playing some of these sound bites and just thinking, like, what would it – think of all the stuff that he represented, Leon. You've been in the game of football for a long, long time. You've been around Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp. You mentioned Andre
Ray
Rison.
Lewis.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, The Rock. I mean, you can go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy had to survive Spygate in a lot of ways, even mm-hmm. though he wasn't tied to it. But Spygate was big, and it led to what some people would say, hey, they were coming in watching other people's walkthroughs and everything like that, and that might have led to them winning 3 or 4 Super Bowls, and then you had the Deflategate and everything else.
Yeah, but what Tom was like, Tom, if you're not winning, no one cares. That's the reason why they were such irritants, because they won so much. If you're not winning, no one cares. Because you can look at them as their time, their dominance of football. You're talking about a guy who's been to almost more Super Bowls than my whole career. Ten, who goes to 10 Super Bowls, bro? 7-3 in Super Bowls.
Yeah,
I went to one, never went back. This man went to 10 and won 7.
And it's so funny because we're sitting here in the basketball world,
mm-hmm.
there's this big outcry about LeBron and AD. Why didn't they get more out of their Laker run?
Yeah.
Considered one of the better combos in the association. And then Darvin Ham gets fired and people start going off going, you know what? You can't get in this GOAT conversation if you're trying. I think he's had, I'm trying to do the math here, 6 or 7 different head coaches. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
If you is it 10, RJ? 10 different head coaches. Now,
I mean, he's run off 8 of them too. Let's not forget that.
Well, it's funny because he's run them off and then begged them back. Okay, Tyronn Lue is one of his dear friends that might be coming back. And by the way, Eric Spoelstra is probably going to outlive all of them because they thought he was going to get run off when he was down there in Miami. Anyway, LeBron's getting clobbered. But just to tie that back to Tommy and Belly, it took them about 20 years before they wanted to have a breakup. Yeah. If you think about that, from 2000 when he was drafted, to 2001 when he rose to the starter's role and they went and won their first Super Bowl, and then all the way until he basically chose his exit plan, when Belichick was basically saying, you know what? You ain't going to be around here forever. I got to go get a guy. And he went and got Jimmy Garoppolo. That didn't sit well with Tommy. Didn't sit well with Kraft. And Kraft and Tommy won that one. They shipped Garoppolo off. Anyway, for them to stay together and not have that breakup over 2 decades, that is pretty good.
It is, and it's rare. But Tom clearly, where everybody say who made who, what came first? Tommy clearly answered those questions as far as Belichick goes. And Tommy was like, if you can make another me, make another me. Mm-hmm. You haven't done it. And he's had no success at it. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's rare air. Tom Brady, in my opinion, he made the Patriots. He put the Patriots on the map. Because before the Patriots, they were Before Tommy got there, the Patriots were...
They were a punchline.
They were. Yeah. Absolutely. They went to what? They went to their one Super Bowl and got clobbered.
Just got smoked by Chicago.
Yeah, by Chicago. I mean, so they had to wait a while. But that from 2001 for 20 years, they sat atop the NFL. Cheating
it's funny,
or not.
There's only so many people that can say.
There's no or not there. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, you do it until you get caught.
So. Yeah. Well,
it's no different than any sport.
Yeah, they all have bent the rules one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Deflategate was kind of comical that he was destroying a phone and getting rid of all the numbers and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, the team that won the national title this year was without its coach for six games.
Yeah, yeah. And was accused of doing something very similar to what Spygate was originally with Belly. It really
future
is.
Future scout, scouting a future opponent, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing all their call signs, all their signals, it didn't rise to the level. At least I don't think it did. Unless you take the Connor Stallions' glasses that could have been recording stuff, it didn't rise to the level of the Astros with electronic signals being sent to players picking up.
It's pretty damn close.
Pitches.
I'll tell you that. It's pretty close.
Yes, it was very close.
You got a guy on the sideline. Literally on the sideline in fake beard and mustache.
Disguised. Come
on. He did his best Bobby Valentine on the sidelines. He's like going and picking up like unlaundered polos and putting them on in hats just so he could blend in. He was actually welcome on the sidelines, which is still a mystery to me how that happened.
Plus, I don't know that the Patriots were using a savant either. This guy was literally a savant that could just like photographic memory stuff. Yeah. Like he didn't need anything other than just to stand there and look.
Yeah, yeah. Belichick didn't have the savant. He just, instead of him with the photographic memory, he just had the photographs, okay?
Right.
He had the
photographs.
The video rolling the entire time. But I don't know. Is there, like, who's the next candidate that could even be in the neighborhood of getting roasted?
Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes. Yeah. Mahomes would definitely be worthy.
I mean, and quite frankly, you could do the same thing with Mahomes and look. The argument is Brady or Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Could you not do the same thing with Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Well, we've seen Andy Reid get to a Super Bowl before Mahomes.
Belly got to an AFC Championship game, right? Is that right?
He got him to a – well, Andy Reid had Mahomes to an AFC Championship game losing to Tom.
No, we got him to the Super Bowl with Bledsoe. Was he the coach then?
No.
Belichick?
Yeah, but Tommy stepped in.
No, he's talking about 96.
No.
96 when they played Green
Bay. He wasn't the coach then.
Oh, no. No, Bill Parcells was the
Bill
coach.
Parcells was the coach then.
Well, they cheated on us in
the
championship.
But what I'm saying is that
they cheating all the way back then?
Yeah, they were. You remember that when all the lights went out in the stadium and then when the lights came back on, right? Their half of the side of the field was lit and now all our equipment wasn't working. Every coaches had to come down and on the sideline because they couldn't talk to each other, but their stuff was working.
It was cheating
right there.
On Massachusetts,
it just drives me batty.
Yes, they that and of course we were in Foxborough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. No one brings that up, but the lights went off and their side of the field was still lit. Communication still going. None of our stuff on our side worked. Some of the coaches had to come out the box to get on the field so they could coach.
Yeah, I do not doubt it at all because, listen, nothing – Billy was he would stoop to a low level to get it done. But back to Andy Reid real quick, that he at least got a team to a Super Bowl, got a team to four straight NFC Championship games, did it with Donovan McNabb. So he was successful. Then got to Kansas City, couldn't quite get over the hump, and then obviously he's got over
the
hump. I mean,
Billy was successful with the Browns.
We're talking post-Brady is what we're talking about. Like
I mean, prior to Brady.
Question.
I mean, prior is what I mean.
Yeah, but he didn't get a team to a Super Bowl.
Just like Reed was good prior.
Yeah, at least he got – my only point is that if I'm separating those two, Reed did get a team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right, somebody here on the text line when you were talking about who in the stratosphere of Tom Brady would get roasted, the 5278 ass, would Michael Jordan allow himself to be roasted?
I wonder. I really do because –
I think he has already, hasn't he?
Well, I don't know if he's he put out the 10-part series.
No, I think actually he has been roasted before.
He has, because I really don't even remember it, actually. Anyway, you guys can let us know other ones. But Michael, Michael, he doesn't want certain things to get out.
Yeah. He's probably going to write your jokes for you. Yeah.
Although, to be fair, like Barkley roasts him all the time, wherever he is.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But there are only so many of those types of celebrities. A Barkley would be a good one. I bet people would have a field day on him. But LeBron, at some point, he'll orchestrate it. He'll organize it, yeah. And then they'll do it. But there aren't too many of them like that. All right, let's head into the 3 o'clock hour. It's XL Primetime. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Search, and RJ hanging out.
It's Mocama Monday on XL Primetime. Head to the Tap Room in Fernandina Beach every day that ends with Y and enjoy some Mocama.
Hanging out on a beautiful Monday. The First Coast just littered with sunshine over the weekend. Hopefully you had a good time. Did anyone get to the best bet in cash? We would love to hear it if you did, especially if you did take Mystic Dan. And look, this is the only thing that bugs me a little bit about the way the horse racing world works now, is that it was a thrilling race right down to the end, delivered on a lot of different levels. By the way, Fierceness, the betting favorite, way down the line, okay? Did not compete, way down the line, okay? Don't bet favorites, man. And Forever Young, for my mistake. I picked Mystic Dan, so I'm pretty happy about that as far as one of my trifectas. I had him in a tri-box.
So who's at fault when the favorite, is it the horse or is it the trainer? Or the rider?
It's so funny. We were talking about, is it the offensive line? Is it the receivers or is it the quarterback? It's always something. It's a lot of these races. First off, this might be one of the bigger races lengthwise. The charm of winning the Kentucky Derby comes with a lot of activity, which kind of can maybe spook the horse just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Running inside, if you're close to the inside rail, it's not easy. There's a lot of traffic that you have to deal with.
Or maybe the horse just say, I don't feel like running today.
He could easily say that.
You might catch a moody horse. You're like, hey, man, I'm tired of this running.
Hey, listen, we've heard players come after games and like, what was it? They go, well, I don't know, maybe – I don't know. We just didn't have our best stuff today. Yeah. Maybe they just wanted it a little bit more.
That's what I'm thinking.
Bro, I'm hurting.
Listen, that kind of horse, too, I mean, you're going to stud him anyway, right?
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you said stud him because our Ocala boys can appreciate this. Mm-hmm. Big Bourbon Nation can appreciate this. The original NFG from Kentucky, all of them. It has now become a decision as to what you can do with that horse and how much money you can make off the stud if you keep him just as the Kentucky Derby winner and you don't let him run the Preakness or the Belmont. Mm. Drives me nuts.
So you make more.
You can, because there's no losses, basically, in the Triple Crown. In other words, if you win the Kentucky Derby and you shut it down right then, you probably can stud fee for a greater amount. And forget about history. Forget about the idea.
So what do they think? Like, it was a fluke if you don't back it up with the Triple Crown?
You know as well as I do, you start looking in this industry, if you have whatever it takes to prove that you've won something, you can sell that bad boy. Two of the horses, Honor Marie and I think maybe Forever Young, both of them had Secretariat ties. So that's how far back we're going.
Really?
Yeah. Both of them had Secretariat ties through their genealogy and all this kind of stuff. And a couple of other guys, a couple of other thoroughbreds that I was in on had Just in their name, and they were part of the Justify line. And I'm like, okay, I may bite on that. They didn't do very well either. I bet a bunch of different ways, but at least I could say I had Mystic Dan. But don't like come right out of the race and go, I don't know if I'm running in that next one.
Who's your winner, Secretary, Justified, or Affirmed?
Secretariat.
For what reason?
The domination. The domination.
Is this based on the movie that you've seen?
No, just the links of victory. The domination. Affirmed would get up
there. Yeah, but the horses back then weren't as athletic and strong as they are now, Joe. So don't forget that.
Yeah, we're going to hear that, that's for sure. Although we have definitely used that in other arguments, so it perhaps could apply. Because now, just as part of your argument, we now have horses from Japan, from all over the world, coming to compete compared to what maybe you had back then.
Are there going to be like Saudi horses too eventually? Is that going to be part of the sports watching as well?
The Forever Young horse was from Japan, went over and ran the UAE and won there. No one has ever come over here after winning that and won the
But I mean actually studded in Saudi. And then,
I don't know. Okay. Listen, if they're going to start sport watching that too, I don't know. They might be able to. They might be able to, that's for sure. All right, let's get back to the Jag talk. Let's get back to some of the college football talk. Coming out of the end of April and into May is where the transfer portal is officially closed up, Matt. And so this is when we start talking about who did what, who got what, what does it look like? It's kind of like what we're doing in the NFL. I never would have imagined that we're going to be doing the same thing in college football, where you have every offseason with basically two or three offseason, offseason periods.
Impact players, yeah, really, what you're looking for.
With player, two or three offseason periods with player movement. And in the NFL, you got February, free agency. You got April, draft. And then you might have one or two, whatever, that'll get signed later on. But those are the two main times that it happens. Now you've got recruiting. You had the transfer portal as well that was open in December. And then you got another round of recruiting. And then you have another round of transfer portal. So who ended up doing what at the end of
May? Believe it or not, the Canes really, if you're going to add all those together, like the early portal, signing class, right, late portal, the Canes.
It's like
the Canes are the winner. Because they had a top five recruiting class.
They really did.
Right? And then they just added, actually, Simeon Bear, the defensive tackle from Michigan State, mm-hmm. who's a dude. You're going to love that dude. Mm-hmm. You know, and they also got the kid from Louisville, Jalen Alderman, the linebacker, all ACC linebacker. Then you look at, clearly, Cam Ward, obviously. They got the best running back in the portal in Danny Martinez. Yeah, they got the best receiver in the portal in Sam Brown.
Which Cam, so, Cam has been given a lot of credit for going and getting Martinez over from Pac-12.
Yeah, yeah. So they as far as the impact players from the portal, they're the winner. They're like mm-hmm. Florida State of the last 2 years. They clearly are the winner. Again, whether I say this all the time, whether those guys can transition into a coherent team in a matter of 4 or 5 months, that's the big question.
That's on Mario.
It is on Mario.
Absolutely, absolutely
100%
on Mario.
It is.
With all you're saying, top five recruiting class and the portal, they
still might get Tyler Barron, by the way, the good edge rusher.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Mario, you got to do it. Now he's got to win 11 games. I said 10 first.
You just jacked it up?
I just jacked it up, absolutely.
Well, but doesn't it just boil down to, like, right now, based on what we've seen, the first 2 years were disappointing. There's no getting away from that. Billy in Gainesville dealing with the same lackluster record and performance. Mario dealing with the same thing down there. But he's now got to prove, both of these guys actually, but Mario – with this class, he's got to prove that he's better than just a recruiter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, the first year he had to clean house. He had to get rid of, like, it's kind of like what, not to the capacity of Deion, but he had to get a lot of those guys out there that didn't represent Miami well. And then that last year, he brought in his guys, brought in the recruit guys. Mm-hmm. Disappointing season. So now the verdict is out on them now. He with all that Matt has just said about the recruiting class and the portal and got your quarterback and all that kind of stuff, He's got to win the ACC this year. It's
don't
not going to be
yourself.
Easy.
This is a,
not going to be easy.
He's got to win the ACC. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Got to be ACC champ.
Got to be ACC champ.
This is 100% a prove it year for both he and Billy Napier. Both of them. 100% prove it year. This is it. Their rosters are now all there. Their guys, it's theirs. It's through recruiting, it's through the portal, adding through the portal. These are their rosters now. So, like it or not, it's on him. It's on Mario and it's on Billy Napier to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we may all be completely wrong about Florida and that brutal schedule. You know, we may get to October, mid-October or late October, you know, before the game gets here mm-hmm. in Jacksonville, and all of a sudden you're looking at Florida's 6-1, and we're like, what in the world happened here? Yeah. So we don't know. Same with Miami. Miami on paper looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen. But I will say this. That first game, I keep saying this, and we've been talking about this now for 2 weeks, that first game is going to be everything for those two teams, everything. Mm-hmm. More so for Florida than Miami, because Miami still has a chance with the advantageous schedule of getting back to it. If Florida loses that game, I think the negativity and the noise, as Ron Zook used to always call it, the noise in the system, the drumbeat starts in earnest. They lose that game in Gainesville.
It really will. And I know that either side will go over the top with a win or a loss. Actually, Florida may go over the top with a win or a loss, maybe even more than Miami. I don't know if you agree with that, Leon. But if Florida were to win, they're going to say, hey, we're starting the build back. If they lose, they're going to say, we got to get rid of Billy. If Miami wins, they're going to be fired up about maybe winning the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going to be talking about firing Mario if they lose, are they?
No. They're not going to talk about Mario. But if Miami wins, it's going to be a clear overreaction. It's going to be the U is back. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that ever again. Please, never.
You're telling me right now that if Miami goes down there and loses that game to a rival, okay? Those people on there
they're going to be in upper arms.
Yeah,
it's going to be a firestorm.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It is.
So you're saying that they will start talking Mario?
Of course they will.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yes.
I don't know whether I believe that or not, actually.
I don't believe either one of the sides, because I think one game you can't dictate a season, but I'm telling you right now, no matter what happens in that game, the winner's going to be like exhaling and the loser's going to be in a whole world of, you know.
Yeah. But do you think either way, win or lose, it's going to be an overreaction?
Yeah,
Miami wins, oh, we're back.
Because they've built themselves to that point.
Yeah.
And they have no one to blame but themselves. The first 2 years for both of them weren't worth what they're being paid.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
True.
And especially in this age of you can turn a team around in 1 year. We've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. So you're getting paid that type of money, 7-8, Mario even $9 million a year.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean you can't go 3 years without showing, okay, this is not only a good team right now in year three, a potential playoff team in year three, but in year four we're gonna be really tough for anyone to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
essence. I'm not saying that the Gators aren't going to get there. They can't do that, because how many times have we looked at a season where you think, oh my God, that schedule, how are they going to get through that schedule? Then you get to like late October and you're like, that schedule ain't nothing what everyone thought it was.
It does depend. Now, again, if you're saying that, if you get to that point and it's not, then that means the SEC has laid.
Or somebody gets, you know, Brady Cook gets injured, so Missouri doesn't have a quarterback, or whatever, you know, I'm not just throwing Missouri out there as an example. You know, the Texas quarterback, whoever, right?
By the way, Billy Napier did get a pretty good interior offensive lineman at the end of last week to come in. That is pretty good. That does count. This Zandamela guy, top interior offensive lineman from USC. You like? I like.
Anyone that can upgrade the offensive line for them is a good get.
Okay, all right.
No doubt about it.
Let's say hello to the Quarterback Whisperer coming up here in just a second. Mokama Beer Company Monday. It is XL Primetime.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. Now, the Quarterback Whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security, security and automation experts, and George Moore Chevrolet.
1, 2, 3.
All right, our dude is in the house, Denny Thompson, Quarterback Whisperer, all over the place trying to, well, wheel and deal. It's not just a quarterback coach, right? Right, Denny?
It feels like the quarterback coach is becoming less and less, actually, yeah.
You never know. Look, as we said, I think maybe in our last conversation, players are walking corporations now, and then now the players that are around the player can be walking corporations, that's for sure. All right, so the aftermath of the draft, I think you might have told us before that it kind of quiets just a little bit because all the work has been done. Caleb was here for a long time, now he's not. Others were here for a long time. Now they're not. What has the week been like?
Well, it did. It was quiet for about 4 days, and then this morning it was just right back at it. Because now the college guys are here.
Sure.
So you've got, you know, the month of May. I think we looked at the list the other day. There's 37 to 42 college guys rolling through, and they'll spend a week here each.
Right.
So we started that today, and then in June you have a little bit of that left. And then mid-June, you know, they all kind of co-mingle, and it becomes just it's crazy. The month of July is fun. It's a blast, but it's like the grand finale for us.
Yeah.
And then really once we get past July, once we get to August, we have the best jobs in the world.
Is that the nomads also coming in, like maybe the receivers to do work with like kind of give us an example?
Yeah. A lot of our guys will fly their receivers in. The great thing about NIL now, even at the college level, we'll have an entire receiver corps here for a couple of days. Obviously, in the NFL, you know, quarterbacks kind of lead those off season. And we'll go to Miami as a group or whatever like that. Little let y'all in on a little something. Like Jacksonville's becoming a hotspot for this. Like,
we've
got several teams now where, you know, the entire receiver room will be down here because the quarterback's here, and we'll get a couple days work. So that's always fun. And it's not like we do anything that's quarterback-led, but, man, when you sit there and you just watch these athletes run and work, it's like, man, these guys are unbelievable. Like what you see on Sundays from 50 rows up, man, come see that field level, and you'll never question these guys' abilities again.
Yeah,
you know that's interesting because I'm showing my age. When I was playing, when I was at Miami, I couldn't train with other people that I was going to be playing against. You know, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to reveal any of my secrets. Now I know those guys; they're probably good friends. They compete. I know they compete against each other, but I don't want to share my secrets with anybody else. Is anybody like that on there?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, just from a quarterback perspective, we would never have receivers everything all together with a different team. Never. Yeah. I mean, that's not our thing. That's the quarterback thing, right? I mostly just stick around and pick up trash, if I'm being honest. But it's from a quarterback perspective, I think a lot has changed in the game through just the fact that everybody's trying to get as good as they possibly can because the money is so absurd right now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's whatever it takes and whoever's with me, like I'm just going to believe that I'm better than that person. When we square off, I'm going to win. But if I feel like this place gives me the best chance at success long term in my career, then I'm going to be there. And luckily, we have a bunch of guys that think that about us.
You know what's funny is these guys make fun of me all the time for his balls are different in person line. But to your point, when you go out there and watch these guys throw and watch these guys run routes, and like you stand on the sidelines and the ball just hisses as it goes by you, the velocity on some of those throws. And the guys, and the fact that they're thrown on time to the step, and that these guys are running these routes to the step. This is not just like when you're growing up and you're just out in your backyard throwing a ball. No, this is like legit high level stuff.
If you're supposed to run a route at 9 yards and you run it at 11, it messes everything up. It's very hard to recover from that in the NFL game. So everything is so precise with these guys, and I see the quarterbacks every day. So I enjoy when we get these high-level receivers in and you get to see just how much force they put into the ground and how quickly they cut and how quickly they get their eyes up and how strong their hands are. It's just like, holy cow. It's really unbelievable, man. These are the top 1%ers.
Ridley was that guy last year during camp.
Oh, my gosh.
The force that he put in the ground and the explosion, the plyometric explosion from him. Because everybody's going, he doesn't look like anybody else because no one else was like that.
Yep.
No one else was like that.
Yeah, it's to do all of that when somebody's trying to keep you from doing that and then to catch a ball to Matt's point that's coming at you 55, 57 miles per hour.
And it's humming, man.
Yeah, that's a special dude.
Who draws the ire more, the receiver running the wrong route or the quarterback, you know, whatever, continuing to miss his mark? Because like you said, both are expecting elite from the other guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's really, you know, when you get a team in there, you don't see much of that either way. I mean, these quarterbacks are so accurate that they're going to put the ball there. And and at that level, you'll see it at the college level, but at the pro level, these receivers know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know that's the spot I got to be there. I got to be there at this point. And so whatever I do in between there to get there doesn't matter. I just got to be right there. Mm-hmm. Now, it does get – at times a little testy with the college guys, especially when we have college receivers catching for pro guys.
Right.
And it's, hey, we're running a 14-yard route, and they run 16, and next thing you know, quarterback's cussing at them. Like, yo, dude, this ain't college. Like, I'm putting it at 14.
Right.
But that's also good. I think that's also really good for the college guys that come out and catch. A lot of that's for draft prep, right? And they learn really quickly. Like, this is the mark I got to be at. And if I'm there, that ball's going to hit me right between the eyes.
Yeah, because I remember you talk about the pro guys. I remember a draft on the pro day at Miami where Peyton Manning came down to Miami to throw for Reggie Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was actually at Reggie Wayne's pro day, so I understand exactly what you're saying. And we were talking about this earlier in the show. As far as the NFL goes, if you were to rank them as far as protection, wide receiver getting separation, or quarterback accuracy, where would you rank those as far as importance?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm always going to say protection first. It's really hard to throw a ball when you're on your butt. So I think that is – and that's not just the talent. That's the ability to set the protections. That's that's that unquenchable thirst for film that shows you what that defense may do to you. And just having your guys set up in the right place so that they're successful, right? Because a lot of times, Leo, I'm preaching to the choir – We talk about sacks being given up, and we put that on the offensive lineman. Well, a lot of times quarterbacks set the wrong protection, and he hung his guy out to dry.
Yeah.
right? Like you see that guard or that tackle that looks like he's spinning around in circles. You're like, why didn't you just block that guy? Well, the quarterback set of protection had him going in, mm-hmm. right? Right?
Yeah, well, it's funny you said that because I remember it was a game. It was me and Bacella and Brew, right? Mm-hmm. So he was yelling at us. It was a five-step drop, all right? And he was yelling at us because we were giving up. But when we remember Bacella watched it on film, it was a five-step drop, but we noticed that Brew was bouncing back two steps.
Yep.
And he had to apologize. Yep. I mean, he had to absolutely apologize.
That's a thing, though. That's a real thing for young quarterbacks because at a young age, you're taught to create a ton of depth in your drop. Well, man, once you get to a certain spot, those tackles have lost any type of leverage. And so if you drop too far, like it doesn't matter how good your tackle is, he's not going to get
there. Did you – and I know we've talked about this before, but did you see Trevor when he finally – like, in other words, he was dropping too deep. Then he had to course correct, come back up, create a pocket, allow for his guys to do their job, and then it kind of looked like he might have lost that just a little bit. Did you see that?
No, I mean, it's tough to place blame on this stuff at anywhere because it's if you're too deep, you're messing with the tackles.
Yeah.
If you're too shallow and you're not just you don't have a certain type of protection and you don't have a certain type of dude in the middle. Well, then you're going to get pressure at your feet.
Yeah.
And that, in a lot of quarterbacks' worlds, that's the worst. If they mm-hmm. feel like they are crowded or suffocated, that's when the balls get crazy, and that's the interceptions you see. That's like, why did he throw there? Well, he just reacted, right? And so it's tough, man. It the game of football, we overcomplicate it in the areas that we don't need to, and we underserve it and undercomplicate it in things like what we're talking about right now.
I think it's way more the latter than the former. You know what I mean? Like, it's way more complicated than people think.
Oh, absolutely. But I also think at times it still does come down to, can my guys bully your guys?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it.
It really is that simple. But the way that you have to have, that answer has to be yes. And then from there, if you have a yes there, then we can start talking about matchups and strategy and things like that. But, yeah, there's a lot that goes into something just as simple as a pre-snap making
just
sure the protection's right.
To your point, to what you do as a profession, what the quarterback has to do from when the – first off, in the huddle, he's got to call the play correctly, okay? That's number one. In the middle of all this crap going on around him, And you're on the road, and it's third and nine in the fourth quarter, and everything's going crazy, and everybody's going crazy, and you got 11 guys in there, and who knows who's looking at what? He's got to call the play correct. Mm-hmm. He's got to make sure everybody hears it. Then you get to the line, and then you got to do all his pre-snap stuff. Then he's got to figure out where protection is. He's got all different stuff he's got to do before the ball's even snapped.
Oh, yeah.
Easy for us to sit back, and I'm guilty of it too, to sit back and say, throw the slant or whatever. It's not as simple as that if you're the guy that directs everything. And if something happens in the protection, one little thing's off, and if your receiver runs 11 yards instead of 9 yards, if one little thing's off in any of those three things that we talk about all the time, protection, the throwing with accuracy, and the guy getting open, it's not going to work, right?
It definitely decreases your odds. And don't forget, probably the most important part of that is that defense knows what you're trying to do. So they're showing you something, and you have to be so in tune with what they do defensively that you've watched enough film to know that they're showing me this.
They'll roll.
Sometimes when they show this, they'll roll to this. Like, even down to, like, that guy's blitzing, no, he's not, just based on his stance and all that kind of stuff. And so I think, yeah, it's a lot to process. One thing that we haven't talked enough about, by the way, is the use of these helmet speakers in college. This is –
game changer.
This is a big adjustment.
Yeah. All right, so let's touch on that because I also want to ask you about – we were talking about how bad the receiving room has been historically for Jacksonville, and then we'll ask about those receiver groups and how much better they can make a player. You guys can go to X, vote on our X poll, real easy to find, at 1010XL, as far as is this the best receiver room that Trevor Lawrence has had since he's been in Duval. We'll do it with our man, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson, on a Mocama Beer Company Monday.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. The Weekend Rewind, brought to you by Cycles of Jacksonville, the big boy toy store for big boy toys.
The Nuggets' time is up. Anthony Edwards' time is now.
Retrieved by Edwards. Gordon is out. Shot clock at 7. He'll dance. Great cutover. And a shot. Good. What a play.
Mystic Dan wins the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby in a photo finish.
And Mystic Dan is out! Comes through on the inside! It is Mystic Dan down toward the inside with the lead in the final 16th. Forever Young, Sierra Leone is coming! These three coming down to the wire! Who's it going to be? Oh, it's a photo of the Derby! Oh, it's a photo! Was it Mystic Dan? Or was it Sierra Leone?
Donovan Mitchell's late-game magic eliminates Orlando from the playoffs.
We got five bench players on the floor. Mitchell long distance. Hits a three! Donovan Mitchell with 35!
Drew Bledsoe isn't still salty about Tom Brady taking his job, is he? Of course he is.
So, real talk, you know, a lot of people just assume that I have a lot of animosity toward Tom Brady. But I'm here to tell you tonight, in front of millions of people, that you're correct. I hate him.
That is just beautiful. Drew Bledsoe, part of the roast last night on Netflix, the roast of the GOAT, Tom Brady. And look, as we have our quarterback whisperer here for a few more minutes before we say goodbye to him, Tom Brady, he had a lot of material that he gave those individuals, be it his head coach, owner, guy that he took job from, guys he threw it to, rivals. It was a treat, man.
I haven't watched it yet. I saw some clips of it. I'm going to have to – good for Tom Brady. If you can sit there and take that, good for you. I'm not going to sign myself up for that.
Yeah, but like we said earlier with Leon, is like, you know, there's a few of his teammates that probably would be candidates for roasting. Tom Brady had – if you just go back and think the supermodel wife, two different women, second, you know, one with the baby, it's all kinds of
easy
stuff.
Easy roast.
Yeah. Easy roast. And then he walked away from Giselle. And then Kevin Hart was having a field day with – oh, my gosh, it was so good. By the way, one of our texters earlier said he had to, like, pat his wife on the back to keep her from choking. She was laughing so hard. So it was a good watch. All right, now let's get back to the quarterbacks with a few minutes that we have left with Denny Thompson, our quarterback whisperer. The communication in the helmet you mentioned right before the break, and it's something that I think we all are looking forward to in the college game because we won't have Harbaugh stealing signals from anybody anymore. So what do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be an adjustment. I think there's a lot that goes on in a college game because you have a lot more players. Mm-hmm. I mean, NFL, you only have, 47?
Yeah.
Whatever it is on
game 45 day. And, 45. Yeah, the emergency quarterback.
Yeah, in the NFL or in the college game, you got a whole sideline full of guys. There's a lot happening. And then it's what I hope is I just hope that these guys realize that you can't mid-sentence change a play, right? Like, you got your play. Let's get that in there. Let's get it in there in a calm voice. Let's not yell it. There's definitely a transition. I know everybody's been working on this in the spring, and everybody that I got feedback from said that it went well. But I am super curious to see. I was telling Matt, like I went down this rabbit hole a couple weeks ago of just helmet communication, just in general. And if you pay attention to F1 and the way they communicate with their drivers, it's like really super interesting. Every driver has a tone that they like. They know what they like to be told, how they like to be told it. And I'm just not sure football coaches are built that way, Leon.
I'm sitting here thinking, man, this is an emotional game.
Yeah.
And you can't be in your quarterback's ear telling them, you know, coaches could be cussing.
Oh, screaming.
Or screaming at them, stuff like that. No, that's out.
Nobody's talked about it.
Nobody's talked about the fact that the coaches do get emotional during games.
Yeah, and now you're giving them a microphone, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's classic. And I do believe, because think about it now, sometimes it feels like an eternity. Play clock starts, 40 seconds, whatever it is. They get under center. They look around. They don't even really look around. They look to their sideline, and then the coach is going crazy calling the play in. So it looks like it feels like there's an eternity. But when you put that you know, voice in their head, things I feel like are going to be accelerated time.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, I mean, that communication ends at a certain point.
Yeah.
Right? It goes dead. What I really kind of hope happens is like a, hey, here's the play. Here's the check off the play. Let's go.
So does that mean you're asking your quarterback to make a decision at the line of scrimmage instead of you?
Well, I hope so.
That will be new for head coaches in college football.
Well, no.
Trust us on that.
There will also be signals at the sideline. There have to, because that thing's going to click off like 15 seconds to go on the play clock, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're – yeah, I think the whole thing's interesting because, I mean, the huddle is a lost art in college football for the most part anyway. Right, it's kind of a muddle huddle at best.
Right,
so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I just think it's something that hasn't been talked about. Everybody just kind of assumed it's a good thing, but But I'm sure there's some quarterbacks that's going to wish that speaker wasn't in there pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right, real quick, wide receiver groups. And you said you'll have a bunch of them that will be coming through, using the facilities. Quarterback will line it up. You guys don't have a lot to do with that. But anyway, our conversation we had earlier today was just how few and far between star receivers in Jaguar uniforms have come through Duval. It's crazy that among your top five in receiving yards in Jacksonville Jaguars history includes a tight end and a running back. Not all top five are receivers. It includes Mercedes and Maurice Jones-Drew. Freddie's eighth.
Wow.
Okay. Kyle Brady's seventh, Denny. And you start looking at it, and it's like the ninth best guy has 2,300 receiving yards.
That's wild. And they've used a lot of first-round picks on receivers. It's not like it's not like they haven't tried.
Yeah, Matt Jones, Reggie Williams. You can go on and on and on. R.J. Soward with the guys that they went and reached for.
And I'm thinking, you know, there's been times where there was a time where we thought, wow, they struck gold with Allen Hurts. Remember that one year?
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, even Allen Robinson at that time, like, man, we are set at receiver for the next, and then neither one of them are here, you know, three years later. There's been a lot of hit or miss. I don't know what the consistency issue in Jacksonville is, but I wonder if you went to all the other NFL cities, if it isn't a similar story. You know, outside of, you have your Justin Jeffersons, and you have – I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But that also maybe is just what this franchise has been, is this not been a breeding ground for success of any real position. We talked about this with quarterback for Trevor. Like, I mean, name a position that since Leon and them played that has been – man, Jacksonville has this position on lockdown. They do really well at this position, and I don't know that there is one.
Wow. Since Leon?
Well, since that group of guys. I mean,
the best position? Corner, maybe?
We'd probably have to go through it a little bit here, but linebacker, you might be able to come up with an argument.
One of those two.
Man, listen, there were about six years where they didn't have linebackers knowing which gap to fill.
You're probably
so,
right.
We went through a Mike Pete, a Daryl Smith, a Puz. We went through a fairly good run. Yeah, Meester would help with that, right? Yeah. But I mean, it's the old saying. It's like, I mean, if you're good at one thing, you're good at everything, right? And that's it, we just haven't really bred excellence here in Jacksonville over the course of the last two decades.
And like the two guys you mentioned, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, they're fifth and sixth in receiving yards, and they were gone.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah. And Hurns got that contract early because he was an undrafted free agent, and then he just couldn't stay healthy, and it really sucked. And then A-Rob was expecting a big amount of money. He got hurt. So it just things went south in a hurry. All right, real quick before you have to go south in a hurry. This is off the text line. I'm gonna do it because, listen, I love Duval. Can we get a shout-out for the Jacks beat Sharks 12-under Pop Warner championship game this weekend against their rival Oak Leaf Renegades? Denny, they text in, our Jacks beat quarterback, one of your kids, your quarterback trained, John Schauer. Hope I'm saying that right.
Let's go, John.
Best damn quarterback in Pop Warner, a kid we will see on Saturdays and Sundays.
John's
go Sharks.
A dog, man. That kid is – so he and my youngest are the same age. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how old John was when he started, like, just hanging around the facility, but it had to be 7 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he comes in every week. Dad's awesome, Gene. Man, there's young talent in this area that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I don't know whether the texter is suggesting long snappers, something that we've had really good for a long time here in Duval, or whether he's showing me the calluses on his hands from being a long snapper. I'm not quite sure which one. All right, Denny, enjoy the rest of the afternoon,
sir.
Bro. We appreciate it.
Love it. Yep.
Denny Thompson at Denny_Thompson as we are close to wrapping our day up. So
that's a great question, by the way. Yeah. I think it's got to be corner.
All right, I'm seeing running back here. I'm seeing a few others.
Yeah,
we
running
might
back's not a bad one either. Yeah.
Just file this away for tomorrow because you start thinking about it. And like I said, there are many big gaps in time between good and the next good. Even go to Leon's position. When was the next good right tackle? And look, it's like I was looking at Denny and I'm thinking, quarterback needs good receivers, but good receivers need good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And they need good linemen. And we haven't had a good.
No, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw a poll on Twitter. Somebody posted the greatest, you know, guys at their position.
Mm-hmm.
Someone put Juwan Taylor in front of me.
Stop.
I promise you.
Okay, listen.
Am I lying?
John Party, I want you to find him. And we're searching him out on social tomorrow because that is not acceptable. We are out of here on that note. No. They lost it there, that's for sure. No. All right, we're done. We say thanks to Mocama Beer Company. You definitely can get a great experience there. Coffee every single day, and they got the baristas working for you. And then you got the tap room Tuesday through Sunday with all their great craft. And you can log on mocama.com and see everything. You can find them on the shelves at Total or ABC. But head on up South 8th Street, beautiful Fernandina Beach when you're heading to the historic area, or Wildlight. They got their tap room set up over there as well. Check out Mocama Beer Company. We are done. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ, we'll talk to you mañana. We got the Francis Show coming up.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.